Melissa Romano is the Democratic candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
For voters who aren't familiar with you, can you give us a brief introduction to who you are?
Yeah, so I am not a career politician. I am an experienced and an accomplished and a very proud public school teacher. Been teaching in Montana for the last 16 years. I am Montana's 2018 Teacher of the Year, as well as Montana's 2012 recipient of the Presidential Award for Excellence in Math and Science Teaching. And I'm running for State Superintendent of Public Instruction because I believe it's time to restore competent and focused leadership at the Office of Public Instruction.
And this is your second run for the Superintendent of Public Instruction position. You previously ran in 2016.
Yes, correct. Narrowly lost. It was the closest statewide race of the evening, and I am excited to be running again. I think that, you know, voters, teachers, communities have been able to watch the lack of leadership over the last 3.5 years at OPI, and it's, you know, really why I'm running. I just believe we need to have a leader in our superintendent, and especially a leader who is a strong advocate, somebody who is going to stand up for our public schools, who's going to show up at the legislature and advocate for bills that would benefit Montana schools and oppose bills that would be detrimental to our schools and our public school students. And that's just hasn't been the case for the last 3.5 years, and so I am very excited to be back at this.
And this year, much like in 2016, your Republican opponent is Elsie Arntzen. We'll get to your thoughts on how she's taking the position a little bit later on, but first want to ask you about some of the positions you're running your campaign on. And you've made public preschool one of the focuses of your campaign, and I'm wondering if you can explain a little bit more about what you think public preschool should look like in Montana.
Yeah, thanks, Corin. You know, I really think that our budget should reflect our values, and that includes investing in our young learners and our four-year-olds in Montana. I think that when we have a public preschool option for students, there are obviously immediate benefits, but there's also long-term benefits. So some of the immediate benefits are that working families have a place for four-year-olds to go and receive a quality public education, as well as, you know, those four-year-olds then receive an education that allow them to be ready for kindergarten. And some of the longer-term benefits when we are able to offer a public preschool option is that, you know, students are more likely to be reading on grade level in third grade when they have a preschool opportunity. They're more likely to graduate high school on time, and they're also more likely to earn more money over their lifetime. So there is a great economic benefit to communities as well. And so I believe that it's just time that we invest in our young learners and our four-year-olds. And I'd like to see that happen the same way that we fund public school right now. I'd like to see it calculated in the A and B formula.
And when you say the Montana budget should reflect values, I'm wondering, with the budget of many people and the state being a little bit uncertain with the pandemic right now, do you have a specific ask on how much you think a state preschool program should pass? And is the 2021 legislative session the right time to move that forward?
That's a great question. At this point, I do not have a specific ask. I have begun talking to various stakeholders about what the ask might be. At this time, I don't have specifics. I just am very firm in my belief that the time is now. We need to be investing in our young learners if we want to move our education system forward and if we want to move our economy forward. At the end of the day, this is about having a well-educated workforce as well. And I believe, you know, that doesn't happen, you know, when students are in high school. It really begins to happen when they're young. And so we have to start investing in our young learners. And I just think it's time. And I am very excited to work across the aisle, work with all stakeholders so we can get the job done.
And in your vision of public preschool in Montana, is this an optional or mandatory program? And how do maybe private preschools play into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that, you know, it needs to be an option. I think that it may not be an answer for every family, but I do believe families should have the option to participate.
A recent survey shows that the number of high schoolers who report being depressed is at a 20-year high. That's from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. What could you do, what will you do, to address mental health in public schools?
Yeah, this is an area I am extremely passionate about. There, you know, I think one of the things that COVID has helped many people see was or is the importance of mental health and mental health supports. I think that the mental health crisis has been a crisis for a while in Montana, but COVID has certainly really put a spotlight on it, and the time really is now to be providing more resources for schools. One of the things I am interested in is taking a look at social emotional learning standards because of the crossover that they have with mental health. And many things that teachers are already doing in the classroom certainly address some of these social emotional learning standards that I'm thinking of, things like being able to set goals with students and have students reflect on goals, being able to create lessons about being responsible decision makers. But I think if I can work together with the Board of Public Ed and have a conversation about whether or not social emotional learning standards are the next best step for Montana in order to provide extra or more resources for mental health support, I'm definitely willing to do that. I wanna be a thoughtful working partner with the Board of Ed, and I do think that social emotional learning standards may be the next best thing for Montana schools in terms of addressing sort of this mental health crisis that's happening.
For those that aren't in the educational world, can you break down exactly what are social and emotional learning standards, and you know, how would that actually play out in a classroom? Is this something that current teachers would have to be a part of? Is this bringing new counselors or instructors into the classroom?
Sure. So social emotional learning standards really cover five big areas, which include social awareness, self-awareness, self-regulation, responsible decision making, interacting with peers. There's a whole range of how these standards would fit into a district. Like I said, I certainly don't think this is the time to be adding things onto teachers' already really full plates, but I do think that if social emotional learning standards were in play, it would certainly add an increased focus. And so it would allow a district to take a look at what they may already be doing. Like I said, I know so many teachers that do some of these things already. It could be something as simple as having students set goals and then reflect on those goals and decide whether or not they met their goal, and then go ahead and make a new goal for the next week or the next month, whatever it is. It's, you know, having lessons about being responsible decision makers. There's lots of different ways to address the social emotional learning standards. And so I think it would be up to each district for how they wanted to do it. But, you know, I'm certainly not saying it would be something extra. I don't look at it as an extra program or something extra added to teachers' plates. I'm really looking at it as putting a focus on social emotional learning and how can we do that at a state level so that we are increasing mental health supports for teachers and students.
Want to ask you about a few other trends in education and current events, and one of the biggest of those is COVID-19 and the way that's just upended school plans over the last year. As classes came back in session, there have been reports about students, staff, faculty testing positive for the virus. How often do you think schools should be updating parents and the public about COVID-19 cases at schools and in districts, and what kind of information should be included in those updates to parents and the public?
Thanks for that question, Corin. It's one that weighs heavy on lots of people's minds. Myself as a parent, I think about it often as I have four children who are attending public school. And, you know, it's certainly a worry and concern. I worry about them getting sick. I worry about them coming home and getting loved ones sick. And so when I, you know, think broadly about this and I look at what the governor has decided with how schools should be reporting the data, I do agree with the governor. I think that this is a public health crisis and we need to have people be able to make decisions that are good for their family, and what, you know, what the decision is for my family might not necessarily be what's right for another family, but folks need to be able to have that information in order to make the decision that's best for them.
And right now the state is releasing once a week statewide numbers. It talks about individual schools and the level of COVID-19 at those individual schools, you know, in larger districts. Should schools be releasing COVID-19 case numbers more often than once a week to the public and to parents and teachers?
You know, that's a great question. I think maybe time will tell whether or not that's enough. I don't know that I am the best person to give the answer to that. You know, I, for myself and my family, it's been, I am grateful for the information that we have thus far. And I think that, you know, time will tell. Will there be a time where maybe it needs to be more often? Possibly. I don't know. I can say that I'm happy with what the governor has decided to do at this point.
And when it comes to making plans for guidance for local schools during the pandemic, what role should the superintendent of public instruction play? You've several times referenced decisions by the governor. Should this be only up to the governor, or what role would you have possibly if you were elected as superintendent of public instruction during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that the superintendent needs to be a very strong leader, and they need to be a resource and a source of support for districts all across Montana. And unfortunately, I don't think that that has happened. I think there's just been a lack of leadership from the very beginning. And so once COVID hit, districts were left really scrambling and wondering what to do and how to navigate COVID and come up with plans. You know, I have to question, you know, why Superintendent Arntzen would release a plan the same time as the governor did. And, you know, I'm left wondering, well, maybe it was because she was never at the table to begin with. And she's been just really missing in action in terms of her leadership. And so I think that the governor probably had to do a plan because we didn't know if Superintendent Arntzen would come up with a plan.
Not being at the table was the same phrase used by current Superintendent Elsie Arntzen about why, you know, there was two separate plans on this, and she said that the Bullock administration really didn't get her input and didn't invite her to the table. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the inner workings of, you know, what Superintendent was Arntzen, what she was invited to and what she wasn't invited to. But again, it does make me wonder, if she wasn't invited, why wasn't she invited? Was it because she just was never a leader from the very beginning?
You mentioned Montana having two separate plans, one from the Office of Public Instruction, one from the governor's office on guidance for public schools. Do you think that there should just be one?
I would say that it would have been nice to have one cohesive plan, but I believe with our current superintendent, that just wasn't possible. She didn't show leadership, and there just wasn't certain there would be a plan.
In the possibility you are elected and, you know, the pandemic is continuing into next year, there's a possibility Montana could have a Republican governor. How do you see yourself working with that Republican governor in the cohesion that, you know, you and the possible Republican governor could provide to students then?
Yeah, you know, I see my role as superintendent of public instruction of one as an advocate and a leader. And it doesn't matter who the governor is, I will be working with the governor to make decisions that are best for kids. I'm going to show up at the legislature and be a strong and vocal advocate for Montana public schools and Montana public school students. It's what our superintendent should have been doing for the last 3.5 years, which hasn't happened. And so just like I would in my classroom, you know, I will be reaching across the aisle. I will be working with everybody and all stakeholders to make sure that we're making decisions that are good for Montana students and moving our state forward.
Touching back again on the pandemic and how schools have responded to this, how state leaders have responded to this, what should the superintendent of public instruction be doing now to prepare for the next school year?
Well, the state superintendent should be already thinking about what bills would be helpful in the upcoming legislature that would advance Montana's public schools. The superintendent should also be a strong leader and providing resources and support to districts across Montana. I've talked with several districts, and the message has been clear that they really feel that they're just kind of lost, that there's been no real leadership from the Office of Public Instruction, and lots of questions and unknowns still exist. And I think that the superintendent needs to start coming up with some answers. Especially the first answer I'd like her to come up with is, you know, how is she going to make whole the $800,000 that should be going to Montana Public Schools that is not there now because she went ahead and followed Betsy DeVos's discriminatory guidelines about distributing the CARES Act funding. And districts feel that, you know, all over Montana, districts are feeling that, and really feeling that lack of leadership and questioning, you know, what is going to happen.
And while you're criticizing current Superintendent Elsie Arntzen for her leadership during the pandemic, do you see anything more that should be coming out of the governor's office on guiding what public schools should be doing during the pandemic?
You know, I think the governor has done a good job. You know, mostly Montana is a local control state. And so we have so many districts across our state making decisions about what is best for their community. And there isn't a one size fits all answer. And I think that the governor has done a good job of recognizing that and knows that. But ultimately for, you know, the state superintendent and the Office of Public Instruction, the state superintendent also needs to know that and then be able to provide guidance and support to local districts.
Turning away from the pandemic, even before the pandemic, Montana was facing a teacher shortage, especially in more rural areas, and some schools were having a hard time keeping teachers around. What do you think you could do to address this as superintendent of public instruction, and when asking to push forward with the preschool program, you know, how would we fill the need for instructors there while we are already facing as a state a teacher shortage?
Yeah, thanks, Corin. This is a, you know, it's a great question. It's one I'm also very passionate about. I've got a couple different ideas. You know, there's states that are currently utilizing a grow your own program. And, you know, I am definitely committed to that conversation in Montana and looking at our high school students and figuring out, is there a way that we can tap into middle schools and high schools and really start a grow your own program so we can identify young students who would possibly be interested in going into the teaching field. I'm also really passionate about mentoring programs, and you know, Montana is a very large state with towns very spread far apart, and we have districts and schools that you may have two or three teachers in one building, and in some cases there's one teacher in the building and the nearest teacher to them is hundreds of miles down the road. And so I'm really interested in having a conversation about how can we connect teachers to teachers. You know, another thing that COVID has really put a focus on is how important connections are and people-to-people connections. We saw the outpouring of teacher parades and student parades and sending snail mail from teachers to students because of folks realizing just how important connections are. And that is the same for our teachers. And so I'm very interested in how do we figure out a robust system to allow teachers to be able to connect with teachers. We have so many amazing and wonderful teachers in Montana that would love to extend their help and their resources and their expertise. We just need a system for them to do that. And so I am definitely interested in that conversation. I think it would have huge benefits for retaining teachers across Montana. And, you know, in attracting teachers here, I certainly wouldn't be absent in the legislature when it came time to be talking about student loan forgiveness programs.
Is there a specific student loan forgiveness program that you would support and advocate for in the legislature?
I don't know the bill off the top of my head, Corin, I apologize, but there was one in the last session that I think Elsie Arntzen should have been supporting that she didn't.
Another trend in Montana schools recently is the academic success rates among Native American students who have tested at proficiency rates that are lower than their non-Native peers. I'm wondering what the next superintendent of public instruction could do to narrow this gap.
Yeah, that's a great question. I was just reading an article about this very thing in Montana a few days ago, and you know, I have a couple ideas about that as well. Again, going back to social emotional learning standards, I think that would have a huge benefit for all students in Montana, but particularly on our reservations and with our Native American students. Social emotional learning standards are a way that students can identify with others and know more about themselves. And it's also a way that we can all take a look at oppression and systemic racism and work through ways to heal from that. And I also believe that that students need to see themselves represented in their teachers. And so I would really like to work on finding ways that we can increase our Native American teachers in our state, because I think that would have a huge impact. There is so much research, I could go on and on, but there is a lot of research out there that talks about the academic benefits of when we take care of our mental health and our social emotional learning. And so I think that is definitely worth the conversation about, is this the next step that we can be implementing to address the achievement gap in Montana?
Jumping topics, the U.S. Supreme Court this year struck down part of a Montana tax credit program that excluded private religious schools. What's your take on that ruling, and what does it mean for how state dollars should be going directly or indirectly to private religious schools?
Yeah, you know, my stance on that is that I believe public funds should go to public schools, and I don't believe that we should be diverting public tax dollars to and sending them to for-profit, private, and religious schools. That I think it just drains vital dollars away from the very kids who need it the most. I think we have yet to see what the implication of that will be in Montana.
And you mentioned several times you're facing Republican candidate Elsie Arntzen. What's your elevator pitch for why voters should choose you instead of Republican Elsie Arntzen, or there is a Libertarian on the ballot as well?
Yeah, you know, Montanans need and deserve a leader, someone who is going to show up every single day and work to protect and promote public education in Montana. They need and deserve a leader who is a strong and vocal advocate, especially at the legislature and when it comes to funding our public schools. And Montanans truly need and deserve a leader who understands the day-to-day challenges that our school communities face. I have had the honor of spending the last 16 years in Montana's public schools as an educator, and I can't wait to wake up and work every day on behalf of Montana's public schools and students.
And outside of working with public schools in Montana, if elected to the superintendent position, you'd also be one of five statewide elected officials that would sit on the Montana Land Board, which manages state trust lands. What are some of the priorities for managing these lands that you'd bring to that position, and how would you accomplish those goals?
Yeah, so my priority would be to maximize revenue for schools and do that with a very reasonable and responsible approach. I value our public lands, and my seat on the land board will be an extension of what I've done in my classroom, which is continue to be an advocate. In my classroom, I have spent my career advocating for all students, and on the land board, I'm going to spend my time advocating for all Montanans to make sure that we have access to our public lands and that the same trails that I am hiking this summer with my children are going to be around for future generations. And so, you know, I need to be able to approach that with a very reasonable and responsible way.
What does reasonable and responsible mean?
It means protecting public lands for future generations, not selling off our lands. It means making sure that all Montanans are able to hunt, fish, recreate on our public lands and waters, and while still ensuring that I can maximize revenue for schools.
Are there other issues that you think are important to your campaign that you need to get across to voters?
I think that we have covered it. I appreciate all of the questions.
Melissa Romano is the Democratic candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks, Corin. It was great to be here.